Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Right, we are turning our attention to the League of Ireland. It is back. Stuart Byrne is with us. How are you, Stuart?
Hey, Owen, how are you? How are you doing?
Not too bad, thanks. So, a lot of debate around the format of how we're going to proceed with the season over the next little while, about how to get the game even back up and running. Obviously, Ireland was lagging behind. Do you see any of those issues rearing its head again, or have things been sorted out and everybody is just happy to get back on the pitch tonight?
I'd say everyone's just happy to get back on the pitch, without a doubt, definitely without a doubt. Whether or not we've sort of ironed out all the issues, I'm not so sure. We're obviously in, you know, going through sort of something that we've never gone through before. It's a global pandemic. There's such a fractured diversity within the football clubs here that it's very difficult to get a common goal or one or two kind of common ways forward. So I think they're the kind of issues that we will have to redress once the season's over. But I think the fact that we're going into what is a shortened season, games are going to be coming thick and fast when you look at the schedule. There's a game on nearly every day with the exception of Wednesday and Thursday. So I think that's going to be enough to kind of keep the focus on the pitch for the moment. But I think there's a lot of work to be done off the pitch.
Yeah, we might get into that in just a moment. But as you say, the games being streamed, the games being available, the games being very frequent, that presents a great opportunity.
Oh, well, it does. And it's probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us, Owen, because I would have been very much in favour of something like this a long time ago. I felt that the technology was always available. Unfortunately, there just didn't seem to be a will at a particular level to do it. But it's happened now by default, and I think it's a wonderful thing. It's a great opportunity for the game here to be showcased globally, because it can be accessed globally. And you know, when you look at some of the games that we've been looking at behind closed doors, I think what it's probably highlighted that. You know, it's amazing what a brand can do for a game, or what the crowd noise can do for a game, or what the atmosphere can do. So we're kind of very much on a level playing field now, that people have been looking at games in Germany, they've been looking at games in England, all across Europe, and it's just been the football, and then we're now being sort of brought up to the same level. So it's an opportunity for people to kind of look at the games, see what the quality is really like, which I believe is there. So hopefully we get to see some really, really good quality games.
Sorry, go on, Adrian.
Yeah, Stewie, how are you getting on? Good morning.
The
streaming thing, obviously, I know you're involved in the production of it, so you're going to tell us it's going to be amazing, and we get that. Looking at some of the comments that have come from RTE and other sources over the last couple of weeks about the appetite or the numbers that are actually going to come and pay for the service, it seems to be that there's some questioning of that, like whether there's a short window now to make a success of this. They won't tell us what numbers actually would represent success. What's your sense of whether there is enough of an appetite from League of Ireland fans here and abroad to make this thing work?
Well, I can only go on, Adrian, what I've sort of felt myself in. I'd say in the last couple of years, and just in conversations I would have had with people, either within football or actually outside of football in my job, for example. So in my, you know, I work in an office with 400, there's 300-400 people, you know, and everyone's a football fan, and everyone's a big fan of the, obviously the English Premier League and so on and so forth. But you've got you know, a lot of guys in there and gals who support the game here and want to support the game here, actually, which is probably more significant than anything. They want to support the game here. However, the problem is, you know, the age-old problem is that we've often shot ourselves in the foot when it comes to the promotion of the game here. The off-the-field bickering never helps, and the grounds are, some of the grounds aren't at a good enough standard. The facilities for families, these are all, you know, the list is there. We all know them. There's no point in sort of saying they don't exist. They do. But I do feel that there's a hunger there for people to kind of want to get involved. They want to go down to their local league of Ireland club or whatever the case may be. You know, sometimes, you know, some counties don't have a league of Ireland team within their county, but there's always one close by. I think there's a hunger to get involved, but something needs to be, they need to be pulled in, Adrian. You know, there needs to be more promotion around that. We need to try and identify what that market is, who these people are. I made a comment there during the week about, which is something I do every few years, but I'm gonna start pressing the button on it now. I feel that I'm trying to make people aware now of their affiliation with the Premier League and the club they might support in the Premier League. And what, you know, why is that? You know, I'm trying to kind of maybe question people as to why, or at least make an awareness of why is it you support an English Premier League? Why are we so obsessed with the English Premier League? And, you know, I would say in most cases, there are very, very legitimate reasons as to why we are obsessed with the English Premier League. But I'd say there are a small percentage of people, and I would hope a bigger percentage of people, that maybe aren't too sure why they have an affiliation with a football club in England. And maybe they're the kind of people we convince to come back here and say, well, look, you know, because we're having this pure reflective period at the moment. After what's happened through COVID, we're being asked to staycation, we're being asked to buy Irish, we're being asked to support the local economy. You know, as Irish people, we're trying to survive this crisis together. So why should football be any different? You know, why don't we ask people, well, can you get involved in your League of Ireland, your local League of Ireland club? Can you support them there? So it's just an awareness thing. I think it's a conversation worth having.
Sorry to cut across you. Sometimes that message can come across from League of Ireland fans as a, we don't want you supporting an English team. Why aren't you supporting an Irish team? Is a very kind of...
That's what I got straight away when I said it.
Yeah, and like, I don't understand why those things...
You can't help how people interpret what you're trying to say.
Isn't the point that fans can go ahead... the reason that people support the English Premier League is that it's on our doorstep, and not as close as League of Ireland, but it's on our doorstep, and arguably the best league in the planet, right? The quality of football is unbelievable. The best and brightest Irish players will go and play there, and so people keep an eye on it for that reason. But I don't understand why that can't coexist. Why one needs to cannibalise the other?
Of course it can. It can coexist. I'm genuinely not trying to spark an us against them conversation. I'm not. I just feel that there's so much money goes from here to the game over there. You know, when you look at the cost of jerseys, the cost of travel, the cost of tickets, all this kind of thing. I'm trying to appeal to the person who's not really, you know, who maybe isn't really fully sure about why it is they've supported a club in England. I've gone through this myself, Adrian. I went through this 20 years ago. And it coincided with maybe me signing for Shelbourne, and I was historically a Manchester United fan, you know, and I remember going to a Manchester United game when I was a kid, and it was amazing, the most amazing thing I've ever experienced in my life, because I didn't know any different. Then I went back the odd time subsequent years, a little bit older, a little bit wiser, and I just felt, you know. It was, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this. It's very expensive. It's a long way to travel. The game wasn't that good. I think there was all these kind of questions that I asked myself, and it coincided with me signing full time for Shelbourne. I really bought into what we were trying to do at Shells. We were trying to sort of crack that European nut. And that was it. That's it. It's just an awareness I'm trying to put out there to people. That's it. Genuinely not trying to segregate us, the League of Ireland, from the Premier League, or to put a big wall down the middle here. I really am, because when you think about it, I mean, you know, there's this historically conflict between Ireland and England for all obvious sorts of political reasons. But the one thing that's been a bond between the two has been football. That's the one thing that's been a huge bond between, has kept probably conversations going between the two and has kept friendships. And that, so I would never attempt to try and remove that. It's just, I'm trying to kind of appeal to that 5% of people that maybe would, huge football lovers, want to get involved in the game maybe, and maybe there's a better option for them here.
It's interesting that the people who have kind of got on board in recent times when it comes to League of Ireland clubs, there's just so many small things that do work for the league, even the idea of Friday night kickoffs and the social aspect that provides for a lot of people. I know that's been taken away now at this point, but is there an acceptance that perhaps that is a great avenue with which the League of Ireland can go down? The Friday night football, it doesn't clash generally with any Premier League games, and for anybody in urban areas, there tends to be a League of Ireland game on their doorstep on a Friday night, and it's kind of like a great centrepiece of a social evening. It, like, that seems to be something that is working, even though it can be explored even further down the line, hopefully when we get back to people in stadiums.
Yeah, that has something, I think, that has helped put a clearer identification on the league, if for want of a better phrase. People knew that League of Ireland games were on a Friday. And I think that helps. I think that helps people plan their week, plan their month, and they can plan around, you know, different things like that. So that's helped. That's something that did come in a good few years ago. And I think primarily that was the reason. It was so that it was not conflicting with any other major sporting events going on around Europe. And I think it certainly helped. Unfortunately, now we are starting to see games coming on a Friday, but I think people do, they look at Friday as being a League of Ireland thing, but it is only a start, I just say, and I think it's something that we need to build on. I think, you know, it's because there's a huge infrastructural deficit within the football clubs, there's a lot of investment that needs to go in to kind of get us to a certain level, even to kind of get us on a level, even maybe the GAA, you know. So that's a big problem, and that's not going to fix itself overnight. That's going to come over time with investment and resources and things like that. But what we can do now, I think some football clubs have done a brilliant job at it. Like, I mean, I'm only looking at maybe the likes of Bohemians and my own club, Shells. Bows, I think, have done a great job at sort of tapping into their local community. They've sort of created an identity around the football club, which has worked brilliantly, you know, and you only have to go to a game at Daly Mount when there's a crowd, obviously, and see how, you know, see the rewards that they're getting back for that. However, and this is the however, I don't think that can last forever. It has to evolve all the time because there is such a deficit with stadia here, with resources, with facilities, that's not going to last forever, and we will have to evolve quickly. But I think we have the minds and the will and the people to get involved. And just going back to what I was trying to suggest there, you know, with people maybe wanting to get involved with a club here, if you are, you know, if Bohemians is your local football club, you can nearly get involved immediately. We're crying out for people to help, you know, whereas maybe that wouldn't be the case with some of the bigger football clubs in England. There's no open avenue to get involved, so to speak.
That's true. The kind of the Premier League is obviously in danger of consuming itself, and like we see pictures of Saudi Arabia pulling out of Newcastle overnight and stuff. If the League of Ireland are going to create a point of difference, one of them is definitely more of a community-based thing. I'm just keen on this specific topic of actually promoting the game here. The All-Ireland League then surely can't hurt. Like, it is topical at the moment. We had the 10 clubs in the League of Ireland Premier Division who'd written to the FAI last week to express engagement with, a desire to engage with UEFA over this. There is big enough interest as well from the Irish League. Perhaps the IFA aren't fully on board. But do you see any drawbacks for the promotion of the League of Ireland were to be transformed into some version of an All-Ireland League?
I don't see any drawbacks. No, I'm a huge advocate of an All-Ireland League. I would think it would be wonderful. I had a taste of it as a player with the Setanta Cup, especially in the first 3 or 4 years of the Setanta Cup, because it was a big, big competition. People probably don't remember what the Setanta Cup was like, but it was big. It was as big as the FA. It was bigger than the FAI Cup, probably. It was more prize money at stake. And you're playing against the biggest clubs from the south were playing, pitting themselves against the biggest clubs from the north. So I got a real taste of it. I thought this was the way forward. This was the way forward, without a doubt. However, my eyes have been drawn, you know, especially in recent years, to the political, you know, sort of wall that's there at the moment, which is definitely improving. And that's, I think that's going to be the one thing that will draw this process out. There's no doubt I feel that ultimately there will be an All-Ireland League, and hopefully it happens sooner rather than later. But putting a time frame on it own is very, very difficult to do. Very, very difficult to do. So what by all means, I think the clubs here and the clubs in the north putting in a submission to UEFA is the correct way to do it. I think they need to open the lines of conversation, get the conversation going, and try and path the way forward. But in the meantime, I do think clubs here need to get their own house in order before they even sort of start to think of an All-Ireland League. Because if the clubs here aren't on a level playing field or aren't on a level footing, and the infrastructure is not right, and they don't have their house in order, you know, those issues and those problems are just going to carry themselves into an All-Ireland League, and it'll probably be exacerbated by that if it goes into a bigger league, you know. So that's the only caution I would have there.
Yeah, that if you join up, and the same goes for the Irish League as well, anything that they might have, it just, like, the question is, though, how much time do you give yourself to sort out those issues before you actually get into this marriage? Like, that is the question. Like, there probably won't be a time period in the near future where the League of Ireland will have sorted out all of its problems. Well, there, like, it kind of seems that the All-Ireland League is being seen as a solution to some of the problems, whereas perhaps that's not actually the case at all.
That would worry me as well, that, you know, that clubs here look at an All-Ireland League as being a solution to their problems. It just won't work on. I mean, and again, it's very, each club is run very much differently, you know, and that became very evident in the negotiations during the COVID-19 period to try and put a financial package together and to get the league back up and running. It was so fractured, and the issues were so diverse across all the clubs that it was, it became a huge pain point and a blocker towards moving forward. So the clubs really do have to kind of, try and sort of get their own house in order here first. There's a big emphasis on this, there's a big responsibility on football clubs to get their own, you know, to get their own infrastructure in place, their own finances in place, their own, what model works for them, you know, what financial model works for them going forward. So, you know, can they be a semi-professional football club? Can they be a fully professional football club? Or can they mix both? Can they mix maybe football with education? There's a lot of conversations and a lot of things that clubs need to kind of maybe get their head around before thinking they can go off to an All-Ireland League and that will just solve all the problems, because it won't.
Let's talk about the football. Tonight you're covering Dundalk. I think it's very interesting how things have now changed, where teams at the start of the calendar year were limbering up for a season that looked very, very different to this. They've had an incredibly long layoff. We're going to see a number of new faces, I'd imagine, come to the fore. This is what happens at the start of every season, not least a season that's had this long of a layoff. Do you see form returning? Do you see Rovers and Dundalk going straight back to the top here, or are we going to see a bolter as the season develops?
Yeah, well, funny to say that there does always seem to be someone that comes out of the pack at the start of the season and really sort of rises above, you know, the expectation level of everybody, and including themselves. But I don't know whether I see that happening now, because it's such a shortened season. Yeah. And when you look at, you know, when you look at the table now, you've got Rovers and Dock both in the driving seat. They're both in, you know, pole position to kind of kick on. I'm very, very much fascinated by the psychology of it all, Owen, and I kind of would have mentioned this to you. I just, as a player, you know, we are so tuned into an 8-month season. Your body clock works a certain way at certain times during the season. You tend to change your diet even as the season would go on. As you get more fatigued, you'd probably sort of make little altercations to your diet. Psychology wise, If you're lucky enough to be playing in a club that's always going for league titles or always playing in Europe, there's a huge psychology around coping with those periods of the year where you're playing in Europe, you're traveling away, you're dealing with, you're playing in temperatures of 30 degrees heat, you're staying in hotels, there's all that kind of stuff. So all that now is just being, you know, clamped into one very, very shortened few weeks. A lot of people won't know how their body is going to perform in that period. And you know, you're going to get the likes of injuries and suspensions and stuff like that. So the only way I look at this is that I look at the likes of Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk. They're very much very professional outfits. They're you know, they're sort of tuned into sort of trying to win league titles, regardless of whether there's big crowds at games or not. They have to go out and perform week in, week out, you know, and regardless of whether they're playing against the lesser teams or the bigger teams, they always have to perform, because, you know, the lesser teams will always raise their game when they're playing against them. So they're at that sort of level mentally when they perform. That's why I think I can't see past the two of them. I can't see past Shamrock Rovers or Dundalk. I think they're going to kick on. I don't know, when you look at the pack in behind, I think Bohemians have had a fantastic few years. You know, I think they're you know, how they've acquired players, I think the job that Keith Long has done there has been incredible. And I think they're probably in best place to kind of maybe follow in suit. But hopefully, hopefully what we see is, you know, very, very good quality football, because we're not going to be seeing games with crowds. We're going to be seeing the raw game, which people aren't used to seeing. They've gotten a little taste for, as I said before, by looking at some of the games that have been shown on television. And so hopefully the quality is good on the pitch, which I think it will be. I think it will be, especially with some of the top teams.
It's interesting that you mentioned the psychology of this sprint-style season. It's as much to do with the physiology as anything else, isn't it? Is this going to just increase the gap between the professional and the semi-professional / non-professional teams at this point? The greater resources means the greater ability to manage what is going to happen over the next little while.
Yeah, really good point. Yeah, obviously the ability to recover is going to be, I think, key for a player. I'm thinking in a player's sense here, the ability to recover and to you know, to be able to kind of go from Saturday to Tuesday to Friday to Monday, you know, so there's going to be shortened periods there to recover. Some clubs are going to have to go and play in European football. And then, of course, there's also, and it's a factor, but there's the staggered times as well that these games are going to be played at. A lot of footballers, a lot of the players here have never played a game 2 o'clock in their life. So that plays into your preparation. You know, that's what I'd be thinking of. I'm looking at the likes of Shells; they're playing at 2 o'clock on Saturday, and then I think they're away on the Tuesday. So, you know, a 2 o'clock game, it's a different preparation for a player. So it's you know, you're up at a certain time, you're having you may not have the normal food intake you would if you were playing at 7:45. So it's just fascinating, it really is, like, you know, and it because it's such a, it's you're so used to saying that a league season is a marathon, it's not a sprint, you know. And then all of a sudden you just have to turn that on its head and say no, it's a sprint. So I think we're going to see, within the first couple of weeks, we're going to see a definitive shape on the table. And then, of course, those that are down the bottom, it's a real scrap for survival.
It's not going to sit well with them, you'd imagine, the teams that do get relegated. That was the big sticking point regarding the negotiations.
Yeah, I don't really want to think of that at the moment, because I it's very hard to see anybody getting relegated being happy with it. And, you know, I suppose it does open to it's probably open to an appeal because they changed the rules mid-season. But unfortunately, I think that's one of them things that that's one of them bridges we're just going to have to cross when we come to it, because we just have to get the game back up and running here. We have to get people back looking at football. We have to get players back playing football. And we use that time between now and the end of the season to try and put some sort of a shape or a roadmap on where we want the kind of league to go, even for next season.
So what's going to decide the title race then, Stewie, before we leave you go? And what is your prediction?
Well, I'd imagine the likes of Dundalk and Rovers are looking at that game, that single game that they have left to play each other.
25th of September.
I think September, yeah, yeah. So obviously live on TV, all the stuff going behind it. So it's even though it's not right at the end of the season, there's probably a 5 or 6 week period to kind of recover from any kind of loss of points. But I'd say that's the real, you know, I can only see Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk, leading the charge here, staying very, very close together until that game. I think that game might be the real decider, you know. So can't see beyond the two of them.
Well, enjoy tonight, Stewie. It's good to be back. Thanks, Minnie, for taking the call.
Thanks, Stewie.
Thanks, Aidan. Take care.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.